Well, it's good to see all of you guys here today. So excited that you're here. Man, every year I do this series in January called our Core Values. Can you guys say Core Values? Yeah, Core Values. And full confession, a couple weeks ago, I was thinking about the message today, and I forget who I was telling this to, but I thought, you know what, I'm going to use one of my old sermons, since I've talked about this for like 7 years in a row now. And so I looked at it a couple weeks ago, I'm like, good to go. And then I looked at it this last Monday, and I'm like, good to go. And my sister and all of her family came over. She has 6 kids. And they came over for New Year's Eve. We hung out. We stayed up to 12:01 and then went to bed. And then they were with us New Year's Day. And so it was just a busy time, and New Year's Day at about 10 o'clock at night, our toilet overflowed, filled up our bathroom, went into our kitchen, went all over the place, leaked in the basement, and so my week was kind of nutty. And so on Friday, I thought, you know what, I'm going to just go back up here and put my finishing touches on the message that I'm prepared to preach. And as I started working on it, I realized that the Lord was leading me somewhere else. So if this message is crazy today, just bear with me. I feel like it's a little bit different angle on the core values. And but we're going to talk today about faith. Can you guys say faith?
Faith?
Faith, community, evangelism, and worship. Faith, can you say it with me? Faith, community, evangelism, and worship. Can you guys, you guys need to be together though. Faith. Community, evangelism, and worship. There we go. So here we go. We're going to talk about faith today and a little different take. So if you go with me to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, this is what we're going to wrestle with today. And, you know, really throughout the entirety of the year, we try to have all of our messages and all the things that we do revolve around our core values. And so maybe you're new here and you haven't been part of our Core Values series before. Welcome. Or maybe you've been here since the beginning and this is the 7th or 8th time you've heard this series. I hope that you're able to kind of get united and wrestle with this with me. And so Mark chapter 4 is where we're going to be at. And we're going to be starting in verse 35. It says this. It says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, and the disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, be quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? God, we come before you today. And we pray that this word will speak to us and minister to us, God. We pray that this word will just open up our hearts to the things that you have for us this morning, God. And here we are. We're on the precipice of a new year. We're here. We're here in 2026. And God, I pray that this year will be a year of life change. It'll be a year of transformation. It'll be a year of us growing in our faith and of us being challenged in our faith and of us being obedient to the calling that you have for us, God. I pray that you'll go before us. We know in Scripture it says that unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. And so, God, we're asking you to be the builder of the house this morning. We're asking you to be the builder of our hearts this morning. And again, whatever you have for us this morning, however you want to lead us, direct us, God, we pray that you do your thing this morning in your holy name. Amen. I was thinking about this. I was thinking that lakes are beautiful, aren't they? Do you guys like going to the lake? Oh, man. Lakes are so beautiful. When I was younger, my family, I'm from the land of 10,000 lakes, Minnesota. And when I was younger, my family and I would go up to northern Minnesota, and we would take some time in vacation, and we would enjoy, there was a lake up there that we would enjoy, and it's a really beautiful, deep, kind of a smaller lake. It's like crystal clear, and you can look down into the water, and you can see the weeds and the fish, and there's just something, I don't know, there's something cool about the lakes. And I remember when, I've always been used to smaller lakes, and when I was a little bit older, I remember it was kind of like a youth conference that was up in Duluth, which is up in northern Minnesota, and there was Lake Superior there, and this was in the, kind of like the early winter in January, and I remember me along with a bunch of kids from the youth group experienced Lake Superior for the first time. And we jumped into the freezing waters of Lake Superior for the first time. And that was one of the first times that my body went numb. But it was awesome. There's something really special about lakes. You know, a few years ago, Aaron and I, actually 6 years ago to be exact, Aaron and I decided that we wanted to take a trip throughout Michigan and experience some of the lakes in Michigan, and we went up to Petoskey, and we spent some time there. We spent a night there, and then we went over to the Sleeping Bear Dunes, and we spent a night there. And then we went down to Ludington, and we spent some time there. And we tented the first night. The second night we stayed in a hotel, and the third night we stayed in a at a KOA. But we just enjoyed Aaron and I just really enjoy some time at the lake. I don't know, but you guys enjoy the lakes, right? The lake's cool. And so I actually brought a couple pictures of the lake, of some of the lakes that we've been to. And so this is actually 6 years ago. This is Aaron on the right, and then look how little Bennett is. Bennett's there right in the middle. And then look at tiny Genevieve. She's right there. And we went up, it was in the summer, but it was, the water was cold. That was up in Petoskey. And so we went, again, this is the first night. We put up a tent. I don't know if I told you this story before, but we put up a tent, and the stars were out, and Aaron was like, should we put up the covering over the tent just in case it rains? I'm like, no, boo, we're going to sleep under the stars. And at about 2 o'clock in the morning, it started raining. And she's like, I'm never going camping with you again. So she's actually home with Genevieve today. Genevieve and her are both sick, so if you can remember them. So well, let's go to the next. So that's at Petoskey. Let's go to the next picture. Okay, yeah, here I was, this was about a year and a half ago. I went down to Fort Lauderdale area, and I went to Hollywood Beach. And they have a boardwalk there that's about a mile. And this is the first time I've been to the ocean since I was a little tiny kid. And I went out and I jumped in the ocean. It was awesome. The water was crystal clear, and it was really cool. So that was the second time I've been to the ocean, and I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to go again. Actually, Aaron and I at work, I want a trip to Punta Cana, so that's kind of exciting. And so Aaron and I are going to go to the Dominican Republic in February, and so they have a pool. They have like an infinity pool that leads right out to the ocean, and so I'm super excited about that. So. Anyways, let's go to the next picture. Yeah, so this was actually this last summer. Aaron and I went to Fajola, the Faith, Hope, and Love Fajola, the AG camp that's out over there by Grass Lake. And this was just a small lake that's there. And the sun was setting, and I took a picture. Genevieve and I actually went out on the canoe, and we caught some bass while we were there. It was pretty awesome. Let's go to the next picture. Yeah, this was actually last summer as well. Do you guys know where this is at? Any guesses? Michigan? Yep, it's Michigan. So this is Lake Michigan. This was this summer as well. Aaron found a contact. There's this ministry that allows pastors to stay at this house for free in Holland. And so we stayed there for almost a week, and my sister joined us, and we just had a great time. And this is actually Tunnel Park in Holland. And so they have a They drilled a tunnel in the side of a dune that you can walk through, or you can walk up and over the dune with the steps. And so this is Tunnel Park in Holland. Is the next one the video? No. Okay, go again. And this was at Frankfurt. Have you been to Frankfurt, Michigan? Yeah, do you recognize that? Beautiful beach. When we went here with my sister as well, and if you look closely, you can see the walk out to the lighthouse there. We were jumping off that into the water, so that was pretty cool. I think the next one is, and this is this next one, we were at the Sleeping Bear Dunes. I don't know if it does it justice, but you can see my nephew right there giving us a smile. He was here last week. I don't know. I was thinking about how lakes are special, and I was thinking about how, in particular, I was thinking about how the shoreline is special with a lake. I feel like the shoreline with a lake is the spot where the journey starts or the journey stops. Do you agree with me? It's a spot where the journey starts or it stops. When you walk, like for example, if we say this, you know, up here on the stage, let's say this is where the shoreline's at. Like, you know, when you're, or maybe we'll say down here. So I'm the ground right now walking down to the shoreline. Like, when you walk down to the shoreline, it's like that's where you're going to get on the boat. That's where you're going to jump in the water. That's where you're going to go fishing. That's where you're going to maybe jump on the jet ski. That's where you're going to jump on the pontoon boat with the family. That's always the thing that we did back in, like, the shoreline is always where the journey starts, and it's where the journey stops, right at the shoreline. And it's interesting because when you read this passage of Scripture, this passage of Scripture starts with an interaction between Jesus and his disciples on the shoreline, on the lake, a significant spot. And when Jesus speaks, he's speaking and he said, "Hey, let's go to the other side of the lake." And Jesus was giving an instructional directive to his disciples. He's like, this is where we should go. And Jesus is standing at the shoreline, and he's inviting his disciples to go out on a journey with him, right? And I can imagine him in the shoreline looking out, and the Sea of Galilee is kind of it's a pretty big lake. I think I read that it's 13 miles long and about 8 miles across, so it's a big lake. And so if you can imagine him at the shoreline, his disciples with him, and he's like, "Hey, I think we need to," and it's evening time, it's dark, so you can't really see, you're looking out into the water, into the abyss, and Jesus is like, "Hey, I think we need to put out to the other side of the lake." And so there's this moment where they could step into the boat, or really, here's this moment where he's sitting here, and there's it's like a decision moment where he's speaking to them. And they could do one of two things as they're standing on the shoreline. They can follow Jesus onto the boat, or they can stay on the shoreline. They can go home, right? Do you see, it's kind of like this, Jesus is on the shoreline and he's giving a directive to his disciples. "Hey, let's get in the boat and go to the other side." And his disciples, they could have said, "Okay, we're going to jump on the boat with you on the shoreline. We're going to start this journey with you. Or I'm just going to go home," right? Do you agree with me? There's a decision that could have been made here. And I think there could have, I'd maybe even argue that maybe there's some benefits for them not stepping onto the boat. Do you agree with me? There's some benefits here? I mean, think about it. Here they are. It's late at night. Jesus is like, "Let's get in the boat. Let's go into the abyss. Let's go into the darkness," right? Now, if I were there, I might think for a minute and be like, "Okay. I have this decision. I can follow Jesus, or I can stay on the shoreline. If I stay on the shoreline, I'm kind of hungry. I've been with him all day, and I've been with him all day, and maybe I'm really hungry for a chicken pot pie. And so I just want to go home. I want to eat some food. I want to take it easy. I want to turn on the most recent episode of Farmer Wants a Wife. I want to put my feet up. I want to sleep in my nice bed with my 1,000 thread count sheets. I want to sleep in a little bit tomorrow, and I want to wake up, and then maybe tomorrow I'll do something for Jesus. But for right now, I think I'm just going to, I don't know. I think sometimes there's some comfort in just staying on the shoreline, and I think sometimes there's some comfort in doing nothing. Sometimes there's some comfort in doing your own thing, not to mention that you're stepping into a boat and you're not entirely sure what's ahead of you. You're stepping into a boat and you know that he wants to go to the other side of the lake, and on the other side of the lake is Gentile territory. On the other side of the lake is darkness. On the other side of the lake is spiritual depravity. On the other side of the lake is, I don't know, if you keep on reading, you see that on the other side of the lake literally is a demon-possessed man who is naked, living among the rocks, bashing his skin against the stones. I mean, that's what they're going to face on the other side of the lake. And not to mention that the Lake of Galilee really, in many ways, represented uncertainty, because in one moment, the lake could be calm, and at the next moment, the lake could be intense and wild and out of control. You know, it's interesting. The lake itself sits about 700 feet below sea level, and it's deep. And because of the way that it sits, and it's encircled by like mountains and hilly terrain, it's known for its furious, wild storms. And so, when you go onto the lake, it could be peaceful one moment, and it could be furiously wild, as we can see in the text, the next moment. And so one moment it can be bright and shiny, and the next moment it can be violently dangerous with massive storms. And so looking out into the lake at night, Jesus with his disciples, as he's sitting there saying, "Let's go to the other side," was actually kind of a big request. Are you seeing that in the text here, where it's like, wow, this is kind of wild? And again, maybe if I were the disciples, I'd be thinking, okay, so, or if I was someone that was following them at the time, and Jesus is like, "Hey, let's jump to the boat and let's go to the other side." As we're standing on the shoreline, I might have said, you know what, I might just sit this one out. Maybe I'll just wait for the next time that Jesus is in the area. I'll follow him next time. Have you ever told yourself that? I'll follow him next time. Maybe next time he'll ask me to do something when the conditions are better. Maybe next time I'll go, but now I'm tired, now I'm hungry, now I'm busy, now I have things that I need to do. I'm hungry now, I have my own things to do. I'll follow Jesus later. But this passage starts with an interaction between Jesus and his disciples. And he speaks to them. He gives them an instructional directive. And he says, "Let's go to the other side of the lake. Let's see what's on the other side of the lake." And he gives this invitation. And imagine you're sitting there on the shoreline and you are hearing this, and he's calling you into the boat. And I really do believe that Jesus' calling is a calling that is universal. I think it's for everyone. And I think Jesus meets us where we're at. I think we're all figuratively standing, spiritually standing on the shoreline, and Jesus is calling us. He's calling it like we can stay on the shoreline, we can do our own thing, or we can step into the boat, we can step out in faith, we can see what happens. When we step into the boat with Jesus, life can be uncertain, life can be crazy, life can be intense, or we can stay on the shoreline. But I do think that if you look at Scripture, you can see that Jesus does meet people where they're at, on the shoreline. We can see that he meets Peter and James and John at the lake. He meets Zacchaeus at the sycamore tree. He met Nicodemus at night. He met the Samaritan woman at the well. He met the crippled man at the sheep gate. He met Lazarus at the grave. And so when Jesus meets us, he meets us where we're at, and then he invites us to follow him on the shoreline. I remember when I was a young kid, I don't entirely remember the first time that I was saved, because I grew up in church and my parents had me in church all the time. I was there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday night. I was there all the time. And it just seems like, you know, God and the Bible and the Word were always a part of me. But I can remember times in my life where I was following Jesus and he met me where he was at, and he called me into the boat to do things that were outside of my comfort zone, and he called me to do things that, man, I thought was kind of wild at the time, and he called me to do things that were uncertain. You ever been there? Where he's calling you to do something, and you're just uncertain. It's like, did I eat something bad this morning? Or is God calling me off the shoreline? Is he calling me to step into the boat right now? But the truth is that Jesus meets us where we're at. He comes to seek and save us, right? Man, I remember I was not even anything spectacular, but I was walking in between a couple classes in college when I felt like God was calling me to go into the ministry. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't really know what that would entail. I kind of know that churches involve drama and churches involve wild people, and I know for sure I don't want to work with people's kids, and I'm like, I don't exactly know what's happening here. It was like a moment where I was on the shoreline and Jesus was calling me to step into the boat or stay on the shoreline, and I could have stayed where I was at. I could have stayed in Minnesota and I could have loved things there. I could have been comfortable. I could have, you know, been hanging out in the woods with my 410 shooting squirrels every day. Like, it could have been amazing, but there was this moment where God was calling me off the shoreline into the boat, and he was going anyways, but he was inviting me along for the journey, right? Man, I don't know if you've had a moment like that where Jesus is talking to you. Maybe you have a moment now where Jesus is talking to you and he's speaking to you. Jesus meets us where we're at. He definitely does, and the call is universal, but then there's this invitation to follow. He gives us an invitation, and then we decide if we want to follow, and that's really where our faith can either start or our faith can stop. It's right on the shoreline, right? Yeah, we can say, that's not for me. Lord, you have definitely not called me to work in the men's ministry. Those men are dirty, stinky, and all they talk about is bacon. That's not my, you know, that's not my thing. God, you definitely haven't called me to reach out to my neighbor because my neighbor is wild. My neighbor is shirtless. True story. My neighbor's name is Evan. His name is my name. Hopefully he's not listening. They're just like, oh my goodness. Our faith starts and it stops on the shoreline. Your journey starts and it stops on the shoreline. You can go back into your comfort. You can go back into the things that you've been doing. You can go back to watching Farmer Wants a Wife. You can go back to the things that you're... You can go back to playing 2K26. You can go back to, painting pictures in your basement, Vernon. You can go back to whatever it might be, whittling. You can go back to whatever. Or you can step into the boat on the shoreline. Your faith starts and stops on the shoreline. And Jesus is giving an invitation, and it's up to us if we want to step out and if we want to follow. What I found interesting as I read this text over and over and over again, because I'm like, I got to preach on this in 2 days, is in verse 36 it says, once they stepped into the boat. Look what it says happened. They were leaving the crowd behind. You know, sometimes when you step into the boat, when you step off the shoreline, when you step into uncertainty, when you step into what God has called you to, when you step into his leading, into his directive, into his plan for your life, sometimes that means leaving some things behind. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it says, Jesus was speaking, he said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many find it. Many people find it. The crowd finds it. Popularity finds it. Culture finds it. A lot of times, sadly to say, your friends are going to find it. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Faith requires us, as we're standing on the shoreline, to step out in faith and leave something behind. Sometimes when we stop, it's like, man, I'm so thankful that I'm leaving this behind. I'm so thankful that I'm leaving this addiction behind. I'm so thankful that I'm leaving this relationship behind. I'm so thankful that I'm leaving this thing behind. But sometimes it's difficult to leave the crowd. Do you agree with me? Sometimes it's difficult to leave the crowd. Sometimes there's a struggle there where it's like the flesh and the spirit and you're wrestling with it. That faith requires us to leave something behind. It means handing the reins of your life over to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It means that you say, God, I'm going to repent of my past, and I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to pursue you this morning. It means saying, Jesus, you are in control. Faith requires us to leave some things behind on the shoreline. And what's interesting is when you look at the text, it's the storm that exposes the condition of the heart. The storm exposes the condition of our heart. The storm exposes the condition of our faith. The lake reveals whether the disciples trust the Lord. The lake reveals whether they trust the circumstances. Our faith is tested in the storms and in the trials of life. And I wish that it wasn't, but it is. Now imagine with me that there are two people. One person, we'll just say his name is Billy, is there in that moment with Jesus on the shoreline. Billy. Classic Billy. He's standing there, and it's been a long day, and Jesus had been teaching for a long while. He's standing there on the shoreline, and Jesus says, it's time to get on the boat. We're going to go to the other side. He hears the instructional directive of the Lord, and he thinks for a moment. He ponders for a moment, and then he decides, Billy decides, classic Billy decides that he's busy and decides to go home instead. And instead of stepping onto the boat, he goes back to his home, heats some chicken and rice. He watches his favorite YouTube channel, Stealth Camper, and he goes to bed early. He wakes up the next day. It's safe, it's normal, nothing is extraordinary. And he just waits to have another interaction with Jesus. That's Billy. Fine, it's cool. The first person, Billy. The second person, we're going to call her Susan. Can you guys say Susan? Susan. She's there as well. Susan is there as well. She's there on the shoreline with Jesus. And she hears him give the instructional directive to step into the boat. She's nervous and she is uncertain, but she decides that she's going to listen to the voice of the master. So Susan steps in the boat with the other disciples and they push out into the deep. And they're sailing across the lake, and about 3 miles into the 8 miles across the Lake of Galilee, a furious storm hits the boat and hits the lake. It comes down ferociously from the mountains, and it was calm at one moment, and now they can't see in front of them, and the waves and the wind and the storm and the lightning, it's everywhere. Have you ever had that before where, like, as soon as you decide to follow Jesus, suddenly a storm hits? You're like, oh my goodness, like, what was happening? Like, I finally decided to take a step, and suddenly, boom, the tire went out, and the kids start misbehaving, and the fridge goes out, and the basement floods, and suddenly there's a spiritual battle that's happening there. And so here she is, halfway across this lake, with a massive storm that happens. And while she's in the storm, she's crying out for help, and they find that Jesus is sleeping in the boat, and they wake him, and he gets up, and he speaks to the storm, and he says, "Be quiet, be still." And the storm subsided. Imagine how miraculous that would be. Suddenly, all the wind and the waves and the lightning, everything would just stop in just a moment. I was thinking about this, man. Isn't it true that it is often in the storm where we experience the real life-changing power of Jesus? Isn't it true? And you look back and you're like, oh my goodness, the Lord was with me. I've never experienced him in this way before. I've never experienced his provision before like this. I've never experienced his protection before like this. I've never experienced his peace like this before. But I would have never have experienced it if I would have stayed on the shoreline. It's not until I step out into the boat and follow Jesus in faith, in uncertainty, that I experience the life-changing power of the Lord. And I wonder this morning, as I look at Billy and I look at Susan, I wonder which person are we? Are we the one that follows Jesus to the shoreline, but then as soon as there's uncertainty ahead, we go back to where we came? Or are we the sort of person that when we get to the shoreline and when Jesus calls, we step out in faith, knowing that he is it, the master of our life? If we follow Jesus, man, I can tell you for certain that you are going to face some storms. I can tell you for certain that you're going to face some trials, you're going to face some tribulations, you're going to experience some crazy things. But there are two things. If we follow Jesus, he promises us two things in the storm. He promises us his word, and he promises us his presence. Can you guys say his word? Can you say his presence? Say it like you mean it, his word? His word and his presence. His word and his presence. His presence and his word. Notice what's happening. He promises us his word. Notice what happens in the text when Jesus speaks. In verses 39 through 41, it says, "He got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, 'Why are you afraid? Why do you have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.' He gives us his word. And his word is unchanging. His word brings power. It's living. It's active. It's transformational. It's powerful. It brings stability in the storm. It brings peace in the storm. If you're going through a difficult time in your life right now, if you're going through a storm in your life, I encourage you to open up his word. In the Bible, it says that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you're going through something difficult, open up his word and say, Lord, I just pray that you'll speak to me this morning, this afternoon through your word. I pray that your word will open up my heart for the things that you have for me, God. I'm going through some difficult things. I just pray that you supernaturally point me to the right spot. And it's amazing how the Lord will speak to you through his word when you're going through a storm. He speaks to you through his word, but he also speaks to you through his presence. And it's wild how storms have a way of supernaturally revealing God's presence. Who was in the boat with them the whole time? Jesus. Whose presence was with them the whole time? Jesus. As the psalmist said, where can I go from your presence? I go into the mountaintops and you're there. I go into the valleys, you're there. You know my coming, you know my going, you know everything about me, you know where I've been, what I've done. He promises his presence and his word in the storm. Jesus meets us where we're at, but he invites us to follow him. It's up to you if you want to follow or stay on the shoreline. God, we come to you today, and we just thank you for the promises of your word. We thank you that your promises are yes and amen. We thank you that we can come together here and that you have promised us your presence. God, maybe there are some people here this morning who have been listening to you, and they're kind of at the crossroads. They're standing on the shoreline. You're calling them onto the boat. You're calling them into the deep, and they're questioning whether they should do it, or they're questioning whether they should go back home and just wait another day. And God, today through your word, through the ministry of your Spirit, God, I pray that you'll encourage them to step into the boat, to push out into the deep, and to allow you to show them your presence through your word. God, I pray that you will minister to us. God, I pray that we'll be a church this year and a people this year that grow in faith. I pray that we'll be a people and a church that do not stay on the shoreline, but that we're people that take a chance, step into uncertainty, and see the move of God in our life and in our church, God. May you minister as we continue to sing in your holy name. Amen.